Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We also welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. My name is Marcus Carlson, and today our guest is Dawn Spies. Welcome, Dawn. So, Dawn, it is good to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks so much.
Glad that you are part of the podcast. And so we have been working through the habits of healthy churches. And today we're going to talk about habit number five, right? That healthy churches value process. And I thought you're a great person, especially someone who does a lot of work around process, to talk to about this. So maybe share a little bit about yourself and kind of your ministry experience, because it'll help us understand how that relates to process for you.
Excellent. Thanks so much for having me, Marcus. It's very fun to be here. I am a pastor certified with LCMC, so I'm a Lutheran pastor. And because we moved around a lot, I kind of fell into intentional interim ministry almost 20 years ago. And I love it. Watching God work in the midst of change, right? Nobody likes change. Everybody wants things to be, okay, most people want things to be similar to how they have always been. It's comfortable. The chaos we know is sometimes preferable to any other chaos.
For sure.
Yeah. But to be in the midst of change with congregations, to get to see what God did, I loved it. And so that's where I spend all of my time. I read every book I could get my hands on at the very beginning. I finally decided that this is how I was going to spend some time getting some additional education. So I went back and did something I never thought I would do. And I worked on a doctorate of ministry. And this was my focus, right? Transitional process, like what can we learn from the world and what do we see in the scriptures? And looking at leadership development in the church when it comes to these moments of transition, It's what I love. And watching God work in congregations who are in moments of grief or worry or excitement, watching God do God things, that's really exciting. So this is where this is my happy place, to talk about transition and to get to walk along with congregations who do that.
So dealing with churches in transition, you obviously deal a lot with process, good, bad, ugly. So why do you think, our habit five, healthy churches value process? Why do you think process, from your experience and research and work, is important to the health of a church?
Process gives us a kind of a structure that we can hang things on. And that's handy in times when things are easy and fun, right? It's handy to kind of know what to expect. But it's especially formative when things are difficult. The process in a church, it's going to be like constitution, bylaws, policies that have already been put in place. They do a couple of things. One, they give us a little picture of what we've learned from the past, right? If we are using our processes well and they're not working, we're going to set out to update and change them. So it gives us an idea of maybe where we've been and what we've learned. They also help protect us in the midst of this moment as we look ahead so that we don't want to make a change or do a thing based on my two cents alone. Like we are a community of believers. So the process gives us an opportunity to kind of check back in with that community before we do something or commit to something that might not be in our best interest. So it gives us a little set of boundaries that can help us make better decisions and be in better conversation with each other.
Yeah, and I think those are all great things. I think process slows us down to listen to the Holy Spirit, to include everyone so that a decision is not being driven by one person, whether that's the pastor or a leader or a big giver or a grumpy church member, whatever it might be, right? You know, process kind of forces us to stop and listen to the Spirit, I think, and to make sure we're making the best decisions and that we're protecting the church while we do that. And I find churches are very selective with process, you know, that they pretty much ignore process unless they want to slow something down or don't want something to happen, right?
Right, right. We use it more as an emergency brake rather than using it as like the engine, right?
Right, or a process for discernment, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And it becomes actually a weapon, I think, sometimes,
right.
You know, so, and I think that's dangerous. And I think in the church, because it's not a business, because it is a family, because it's spiritual, sometimes, again, we ignore process or selectively apply it. But the reality is Jesus was very intentional, and there was a method, right? There was a process. And you're right, that can be things like constitution, bylaws, policies, and procedures, but it can be about the structure or about how you make decisions. But what I've seen over the years, what we've seen is that churches really struggle with process in the church. Why do you think that is? I've got my opinions, I've got my thoughts, but I would love to hear your thoughts. Why do you think churches struggle with process?
I think many times we care so much about the church, right? This is, for some of us, right, who've been in churches for very long periods of time, right, there's an emotional feeling when we walk into the church. This is where we have been.
Right.
And because we care so deeply, and it's a little intangible, we're like, right, like, this is the church I was baptized in. It's just like, oh, that's lovely. But there's some deepness, like there's some deep and intangible spiritual things about that. And so sometimes when we care a lot about something, but we don't exactly know how to make a great decision with it, sometimes we move too quickly. So that is one of the pieces that I like that reminder, right? That sometimes we don't use process because we don't know how to get somewhere. So we figure our solution will be to get there as quickly as possible.
Right.
We'll pick an option and we will skip over anything that's hard. And that's not how people work. And that's not how organizations work. And that's not how the church was designed. And so I think when it comes to skipping process or getting around it, when we make mistakes around process, sometimes it's about not knowing what to do, but really caring about the church. So we figure a bad decision is better than no decision. Sometimes what we need is the pause.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't, honestly, right? And so what process does is it helps us to slow down on the things that are big and need to be slowed down on, and then having process around the small things so that, you know, you're not sitting in a council meeting for 3 hours talking about a tree trimming quote.
Right.
You know, that like
there should be a relatively straightforward way to accomplish some of our tasks.
Right. You don't need 3 hours for tree trimming. I promise you. I've been there, done that. But you don't need that. But a decision about, you know, what the next position is in your church, or, you know, what worst types of worship services you're going to offer, you know, that probably should have some more process, because those are kind of bigger decisions. And I find that if we build the structure for this and just follow it, the other thing is we get a lot more conflict when we don't follow a process. And that conflict, we don't have much defense, you know, when that conflict comes, if we've ignored process. But if we have a good process and we have a bad result, it's an opportunity to learn and grow.
Right.
If we have no process, even a good result can be disastrous or conflict inducing. Right. A bad result, you know, can be cataclysmic to the church. And so really for me, I think a lot about process as the opportunity for prayer and theological reflection in addition to the process itself. And my hope would be in any process, right, that we involve people, that, you know, people have a voice so that we have buy-in. What else have you learned about process as we've talked about it that may be helpful for congregations and their leaders to think about?
I love that reminder that process isn't just our documents, right? Sometimes process are those little tools that we can pull out when we're not exactly sure how to proceed. So you mentioned conflict, and Jesus gives us a process for conflict. And it's you've mentioned this before, right? This is, there are not a lot of times in scripture where Jesus is like, step one. Is everybody listening?
Yeah.
Step one.
Yeah.
Right? And this is one of those moments, but I love that picture of like, sometimes we have our document processes. Sometimes we have these softer processes. So we think about conflict as a big scary thing. But if we have some process around conflict, then we don't have to wait too long. We don't have to involve the wrong people. We know where the boundaries are. So like conflict at a really high level, right? You go back to the person that you are frustrated with or you need to talk to. You deal with them directly. And if that doesn't work, then you have next steps. If I know that that's the process and I can keep that tool in my back pocket and suddenly somebody hurts my feelings or says something that I take poorly, I don't have to share that with anybody else. I don't have to worry about it for very long. I can just, I know what I need to do. It might not be easy, but I know what I need to do. And I can do that in prayer and in relationship. So like, right, all of those things kind of hang around it. I love that, right? Sometimes process slows us down, but sometimes it gives us that opportunity to realize like, oh, I do have a tool for this. I can pull that app out and walk through it step by step, and then knowing that if that doesn't go as I had hoped or planned, that then I have other resources. So it kind of helps give us, again, those boundaries so that when we can act on our own for things that we need, we are in community together doing that, right? It's hard to be with people, right? In community.
Right.
And so those processes give us some extra boundaries and tools so that we know how to work with each other well.
I love that word boundaries, right? They give us extra boundaries so that no one person, you know, no matter who they are, you know, would have undue influence. And I was talking with some people last night, got a group of people in church in transition. And I said, you know, really, we utilize and create this process so we don't kind of repeat the same things over and over again.
Right.
That it's really important to have a process and follow it. And corporate discernment is better than individual discernment. No matter, like, discernment's my primary spiritual gift. It's my primary working genius. It's how I work. It's how I'm wired. I'm not the Christ. And so I can tell you right now, like, my discernment alone is often not enough. And even when I'm discerning rightly, to have others help me refine that, you know, to have other voices. And I think what process does is it gives us a chance to do some theological reflection and gives us a chance to do some real discernment that's not just, you know, what the pastor wants or the council president wants or the biggest giver wants kind of thing.
And again, it gives us the tool set so that, you know, maybe we don't in our regular ordinary life participate in those types of conversations, right? To be gathered around a table at the church after worship and to be in a time of transition and you're trying to figure out like, how do we proceed? And you're just in a regular conversation, but one person has an opinion. Maybe my opinion is different. How do we... What's our softer process for how do we do that and still continue as brother and sister in Christ? So some of those softer things, how do we do that? How do we practice being in conversation together? And sometimes because we care, but we don't know exactly how to do it, like maybe we're not really good at that part, the process can give us that kind of, again, the boundaries for like, okay, I know how to get through this first little step. But this is where I get stuck. What do I do next? The process can help us answer that question in a way that gives us all the same guidance. So it's not groupthink where we all end up in the same place no matter what. It's that reminder that we're all in this together and we're all learning. So as we make mistakes and as we get it right with one another, but also as we learn to listen well to each other, right, the best decisions. Sometimes I think the best decisions are where I was right all along.
Yes.
Those are maybe my favorite decisions.
Right.
But they're not always best for the church. The best decisions are when we have these little glimpses of what God is doing next, and we all learn how to bring it to the table and be in conversation about it together. And again, that's a process piece. So then when we think like, okay, I think this is where we're headed or this is what's next, then the process piece also, right, those foundational documents, we get to go back to them and review. It's like the internal audit that you get to do, right? So that you can figure out like, if we do this that we all think might be okay, what will that mean for us? Is this in keeping with our theological understanding, our foundational documents, our regular structure? And where it's not, it gives us an opportunity to pause and to reflect again. So again, those guardrails, right? We can run ahead too quickly and end up tumbling down the stairs. But if we have that moment where there's the guardrail, we're all moving together, we have the excuse to be in conversation, rather than just agreeing with me and doing what I say all the time, the excuse to be in conversation can really help us move together well, rather than everybody just moving, which can be a mess.
Yeah, and I think having a process allows you to have people who have expertise in certain things to have more weight and more input.
Oh, right.
I think process actually creates greater ownership. Ownership in the ministry of the church, but ownership of the decision that's made.
Right.
Even if you disagree with it, right? And, you know, I have a situation in one church I'm working with right now where I've probably got to make a decision about a conflict. And I could just make that decision and it would be fine. I have the prerogative, I have the priority. But it's complex enough, and I'm trying to teach this church how to do this and be engaged. So I'm meeting with different leadership groups and raising questions and letting them talk and listen to them. Even if ultimately I may have to make the decision, I'm going to have made it with hearing all these other perspectives. So it's not only going to be a better decision, I think it'll be a more empathetic, careful decision. And, you know, again, it's one of those things where, you know, there's this potential for conflict. So let's do that. Because I think what we tend to do is we tend to underprocess conflict in the church and overprocess everything else. We'll overprocess carpet selection, but we'll blow through conflict, right? You know, we'll spend 2 hours in a meeting talking about a sentence in the Constitution and spend 5 minutes talking about a conflict, right?
Right. And right. When there's that, kind of imperfect weightedness to it, right. Sometimes it's that we're avoiding the hard thing.
Right.
And then making something else harder so that we don't have to do it. I love your note that you're, you could make a decision, but you're asking, right. You're in process with people. And anytime I'm on the other side of that, when I am the one who is, you know, like, hey, can we get together for coffee? I want to run this by you. Right. Two things happen for me. One, I feel valued. So I'm a part of the process and I feel valued. Even if it doesn't go the way I think it should, I at least feel like the people who are making the decision are listening well. And honestly, that helps me. And sometimes God is gracious and gives perspective through other people's eyes. And knowing that there's openness that comes to the table, right? It makes our decision more of a community decision. So even if it doesn't go the way I expect, I have that kind of buy-in from the beginning. I feel listened to. But also I can trust it more that God is having a chance to speak. When I'm on the side of the table where I have to make a decision, right? Discernment's one of my gifts. I might be able to see where this ends up, but the slowness gives us a chance to practice together.
For sure.
And not just like, well, I'm going to practice with the people in the congregation so that they can learn a thing, which is important, but I need to practice too, right? We're always learning as we go through the process together. We're learning new things. We're learning new things about that congregation, about the people that we are serving alongside in partnership with. And that kind of like that deliberation about important things, not that the color of the carpet or the tree trimming is not important. It's important to keep your building well and to make sure it's maintained. But the softer stuff, the people stuff that sometimes uncomfortable, it slows us down enough so we can do the uncomfortable thing. And that is those moments where God is building us together in new ways as the body of Christ. That's something that I value. And honestly, I'm not going to necessarily get there if we're just teaching a class. I'll listen. I'm a good listener during a sermon, mostly. But I'm going to learn it in a new way if we get to do it across the table from each other.
Yeah. And I think people feel valued when they feel heard.
Yeah.
I do think sometimes in the church we confuse feeling heard and getting your way, but I think
right, those are different things.
Different things. Yeah. But I think there is this sense where, you know, people feeling heard, again, they feel better about it even if they disagree with it.
Right.
They have more ownership, certainly. And again, you know, you make better decisions with certainly less conflict and strife. And so, you know, process matters, you know, to be, you know, healthy churches value process. Dawn, it's been great talking about this today. Appreciate
you so much
coming on the podcast. And, you know, we're excited about kind of this series talking about the habits of healthy churches. And so we're going to continue doing that and hope that you enjoy it as well. There's tons of resources on our website, free sermon guides, free discussion guides for the book, free videos for leadership teams, in addition to these podcasts. And if you have questions about doing process well, certainly don't hesitate to reach out to us. Again, Voices in the Wilderness has been brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip leaders to create lasting and transformational health. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going as we do this together, where our hope and prayer is that your churches are healthier. You can visit amazed15.org to learn more. And we welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org.